The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ still preaches a gospel that changes lives. We still contend that the Holy Spirit will come into a person's life when they are ransomed and when they are redeemed, when the blood of Jesus cleanses them from all unrighteousness, when they become a child of God, when they come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, they experience a change. They're set free and liberated from sin, set free from the bondage of sin, set free from the captivity of sin, set free from the consequences of sin. Amen. Jesus paid our price. He ransomed us. He redeemed us with His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Now, if you're here very long and you spend some time with us here at Victory, we put a lot of emphasis on the cross. Amen. It's through the preaching of the cross that people are saved. We put great emphasis on the shed blood of Jesus Christ because it was through His shed blood that we are washed, that we are made clean. The Revelator in the book of Revelation, John the Revelator said, you know, unto Him who loved us and washed us, we give praise and honor and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ because He not only loved us, but He saved us. He washed us. Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. And if you've never been to the fount and drank of the living water, it's available to you. If you never experienced the forgiveness of sin that comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's available unto you. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the word shall is futuristic. In other words, calling isn't salvation, or praying, that's not salvation. You call till you get saved, till you experience deliverance, till you're set free from sin. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Well, you need to keep seeking till you find. That's what Jesus said. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. You keep knocking till the door's open. And that's what we practice and what we preach here at Victory Church. You need to seek the Lord till you find Him. Do you know for yourself that your sins are under the blood of Jesus? Now, I have a time and a place where that happened in my life. May 15th, 1972, when I was a 10-year-old boy. I repented of my sins. I put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I experienced the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I mean, something came into my life that wasn't there before. There's a new life that came into me when I believed. And I contend that everyone, when they believe to the saving of their soul, also experiences a new life that comes into them that wasn't in them before. Amen. If His Spirit, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, is not in you, if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you are none of His. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's just Bible, people. That's what the early church practiced and preached. And that's what we practice and preach today. So we encourage you to listen to the testimonies, listen to the preaching. But when it comes down to being set free and ransomed, it's a personal experience between you and God. Yes, we believe in experimental knowledge. That you have to have a time and a place. You have a time and a place where you feel conviction and you experience conversion. A time and a place where you're under condemnation of sin and you're set free from that condemnation. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 24, He said the time would come when people would hear His voice. And those that heard His voice, they would live. That they would pass from death unto life. He that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you've never experienced the spiritual, heavenly, Holy Ghost experience of being a passing from death unto life, then you're lost and undone. You've not been ransomed. The blood of Jesus has not been applied to your account. You've not been justified by faith. And you need to call upon the Lord. You need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His righteous blood, His sinless blood, who made an atoning sacrifice for us there on the cross of Calvary. And by the shedding of His blood, there's remission of sin. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He died on the cross. He took your place. And this thing gets personal. It got personal with me when I was lost. The preacher preached that I was a sinner, that I was undone, that all is sin to come short of the glory of God. I felt that. I experienced that. My sins kept me separated from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says clearly that it is our sins that separate us from God. Our iniquity has turned His face from us, from us, that He cannot hear. The Bible says clearly that it's our sins and our iniquities that keep our prayers from being answered, that keep us from experiencing God. Listen, when you repent of your sin and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that barrier between you and God is broken down. And you step into a new relationship and a new fellowship with God. Salvation is real. It's from God. It's not from man. It's not something the church provides. It's not something the preacher provides. It's not something your mom and dad can provide you. It's not something that the world can give you. It comes from God. You have to be born from above. It is a gift from God. I'm glad I experienced that gift. Now, I believe that everybody needs to know for themselves that they're saved. There's a lot of coaching that goes on in a lot of churches. And there's a lot of people who are substituting their words for the work of the Holy Spirit. I hope that you get to the point like I did where nothing but God would do. When you're really under conviction, I mean, you're conscious of the fact that you had offended God, that God was the offended party, that you needed His forgiveness, that you needed eternal life that comes from heaven. When you experience that kind of Holy Ghost conviction, nothing will do but Holy Ghost conversion. You know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Yeah, this thing is real. Where the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the death of Jesus Christ gets a hold on you. You realize that He took your place, that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only thing that will keep you from perishing is the Lord Jesus Christ. His name, His gospel, His work, it's the most important thing that we do. And I want to encourage you today, if you've never made your calling and your election sure, you can and you need to. You need to make your calling and election sure. You can do that. How do you do that? Well, you pray. You call on the Lord. You repent of your sins. You turn from your iniquities. You look to Jesus in faith. You have to exercise faith. You have to believe that His sacrifice can change you and alter you. I contend that the grace of God will alter a person. When you experience the work of God's grace in your life, it changes you. Well, there are a lot of people that think that they're beyond changing, that they're beyond help. That's wrong. That's not true. Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. In other words, there's grace and blood available to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. No matter what kind of transgression you have committed, we believe that the blood of Jesus can save you and forgive you and change you. Most of the people that Jesus came in contact with in His earthly ministry, they were the offscourge of creation. They were the ones that were the most wicked. They were those that were committing great crimes of thievery. There were those that were committing adultery. There were those that were committing all kinds of lewd practices. But they came under the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They pleaded for mercy. They said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And they called upon His name. Jesus forgave them. He called on them once they were forgiven to go and sin no more. He'll do the same thing to you. I'm glad you're here today. And we want you to be saved by His grace. We want you to be saved by His work. We want you to be saved based upon the merits of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Not on your own works of righteousness, not on your own merits, but on the merits and the work of Jesus Christ. I contend that salvation is wholly of grace. It's not of us, it's of Him. It is a work of God's amazing, marvelous, wonderful grace. We sing about the amazing grace of God and the work of God coming into our hearts and life, and it's real. If it doesn't change you and rearrange you and make a difference in your life, you didn't get what I got. If you can keep sinning and getting away with it after you get saved, you didn't get the salvation I got. No, you didn't. I realize that we fail the Lord. But when we do fail the Lord, we get chastened for it, don't we? We're part of His family and He treats us like a father treats a son. And I contend that we have the sure mercies of David, that once you get saved, you can't get unsaved. Once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. But we also believe that people that are really saved, that God works in their lives. He sanctifies them. He brings them closer unto Him. He works in their life. And there's a lot of people, the reason their Christianity has not worked, the reason that their Christian walk is not really a Christian walk, is that they've never been beneath the crimson flow. They never tasted of the true heavenly gift. They've never been beneath the fountain of living water. They've never had a drink. They've really never been saved, and that's why their Christian walk isn't a Christian walk. Amen. The only way we can walk the Christian walk is by the help of God, by the influence of His grace, by the empowering of His Spirit. Y'all know about that? Sure, yeah. Everyone in the New Testament, they had this influence about them. They had the Holy Ghost working in their lives, helping them bring the flesh under subjection to the Spirit. Listen, if you ever bring the flesh into subjection to the Spirit, God's Spirit has to be in you. It has to be on you. It has to be part of who you are now. The reason they can't bring the flesh under subjection to the Spirit, because the Spirit's not there. That's the problem. Right there. Well, there's a lot of people been sold a bad bill of goods. I feel for those folks. I really do. We come together here at Victory Church, and we know that our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't get overly excited, though we see many miracles performed among us, and we see God answering our prayers and doing great things among us. The thing that really gets us fired up is that we know that our name's been written down in glory. And that's what Jesus told the disciples when they came back reporting to Him that devils had been fleeing through their ministry. He said, don't get overly excited about that, but if you want to praise God because you know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We still know, don't we? His followers, His disciples, His church, they still know that their name is written in glory. I'm glad I'm saved today. Glad to be in the house of God. Glad to be among God's people. I know we've got several out because of fall break, and some families are missing from us today, but isn't it just good to be in the house of the Lord? And to meditate and think about all the great and wonderful things that God has done for us. I love the Lord today. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Are you glad you're saved? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it just a wonderful thing to feel the presence of the Lord? To sense His sweet Spirit, His peace? Paul said in the 5th chapter of Romans, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherein we have access unto this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And we even glory in tribulations, because tribulations work with patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I read that stuff and I see that existing in my life. It's real. Amen. It's not just words on a page. It's something we've experienced in our life. And we experience it today. Yeah. You know, when God takes the quill of the Holy Spirit and He dips it in the crimson blood of Jesus Christ, and He writes your name in the Father's book, all the devils in hell cannot convince you that you're not saved, because you've had something that's happened in your life. Well, you know that you know that you know that you've been bought with a price, and you're one of God's heavenly children. Yeah, it's good to be a child of God. Isn't it good to be a child of God? It's the most precious and most important thing in a person's life. If you don't know, you can know. If you're not a child of God, you can be a child of God. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to bring us into a relationship and fellowship with God, where that we can be treated as though we had never sinned. He brought us into a place and a relationship where a holy God can treat us like we're holy. And the only way He can do that is for our transgressions and for our sins to be shifted off of our account. We owe God. We have transgressed. We have sinned. We've failed God. We've broken the Ten Commandments. We've not loved the Lord thy God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We've not even loved our neighbor as ourselves. We've not done these things. And there's a penalty attached to every one of these transgressions. Failing to keep God's commandments comes with consequences. But praise God, Jesus took our place. He became a substitutionary atonement. What happens when you get saved? All of those things that keep you under condemnation, that keep you condemned before a holy God because of your transgressions and your sins, because of your failures and mistakes, because of your iniquities that are ever before you, they're lifted off of your account and they're laid upon Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, when that happens and you feel that redemption take place, you feel like you've been set free. I mean, the burden of sin is lifted. The condemnation is removed. I'll tell you how amazing this thing is. I'll tell you how amazing salvation is. It's so amazing, you won't even feel guilty before God anymore. He'll even relieve the guilt. Right? I look across this congregation, and all of us have done things we shouldn't have done. There are people that have been, God has rescued from great condemnation. I mean great condemnation, because they were great sinners. But God's grace came into their life and changed them. Some of these folks here today would probably be in jail if it wasn't for the grace of God. But they heard about Jesus. They heard about His love. They heard about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They heard that if they would repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they could be saved. The Holy Spirit began to work in their heart and draw them. You know, Jesus said in the 6th chapter of John, He said, no man can come to the Father. No man can come unto me except the Spirit draw him. And so there's this drawing that goes on. God begins to work in an area. And I know some people don't like this, but I believe this with all my heart. God begins to work in an area of your life, in an area of your soul, in the inner core of you, in a place where only He can deal with you, a place that He can only touch. He begins to draw you and touch you in a place that only He can get to. And He begins to draw you and call you out by His grace. Amen. You remember when you heard the call? Woo! Remember when you heard the call? Yeah, it didn't come from the pulpit. It didn't come from the singers or the singing or the choir or from mom and dad or from some friend that brought me to church. It came from God Almighty. And He calls us out. And He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow. I tell you, the Christian life is the best life to live. We go through this life with our burdens carried by the Lord. I mean, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Right? I mean, you don't put so much emphasis and stress on carnal things or worldly things. This world's really not our home. We're just passing through. Actually, Jesus said, He said, if you love the world, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Listen, we love the Lord God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross of Calvary. But anyway, this world, there's no real attachment to it. We're going to heaven, aren't we? I mean, we Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I've got a building, a house not made with hands, reserved in the heavens. Corinthians chapter 5. He talked about how that we know that when we die, that our bodies go back to the dust of the earth from whence it came, but our souls go back to God who gave it. And I believe the saints of God around the throne today, rejoicing in the hope and glory of God, they're in heaven. They're spirits of just men made perfect that are in the presence of God and the holy angels. And I'm going there when I die. Yeah. I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? Jesus made a way. And let me pause and say this. I don't feel deserving of that. I don't feel worthy of that. Do you feel worthy of going to heaven? The reason, the only reason I'll be able to go to heaven, the only answer I'll be able to give when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the only response that I'll have that'll roll from my lips, the only way I'll be able to respond to the condemnation at the day of judgment and all the sins that are brought before me that I have committed. And I believe the books will be opened. You may disagree, but I believe the books will be opened. And the books will be opened and things will be exposed and revealed that I need to go into the depths of hell. And I should have been under condemnation. And the only thing that can roll from my lips during that time will be this: Jesus died for me. Died for me! And my advocate will stand, my lawyer will stand up, and he'll say, "Yes, I did. I know him. He knows me, but I also know him." You know, Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, "Many shall say in that day, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Listen, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. There's this broad way that leads to destruction. That's what Jesus preached. That's what the church needs to be preaching today. There's a lot of people offering a broad road that leads to destruction. And there's a lot of people that are on that road. A lot of people on a broad way to destruction. Jesus says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life." I remember when one came to him and said, "Master, Master, I will follow you wheresoever you go." Jesus said, "The birds of the air had nests, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air had nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his hand." I contend that people that get saved need to pick up their cross and follow the Lord Jesus. They need to live the crucified life like the Apostle Paul told us to do. They need to be loyal and dedicated to God because they've been saved by His wonderful grace. I believe in a lordship salvation that starts when you get saved. Amen. Yeah, I sure do. Listen, when you come beneath the crimson flow, you can't help but crown Him Lord. Right? When He washes away your sins and you're forgiven and you pass from death into life and you become a child of God, and you're ushered out of the kingdom of darkness, and you're no longer a child of the devil, but you're made a child of God, and you're ushered into the kingdom of His dear Son, you can't help but crown Him Lord. He's Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of the Father. His church still contends, still preaches, still teaches, still upholds Him as Lord. He's going to bring all the nations of the earth down before Him in humble reverence. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of the Father. He's going to usher all nations before Him in judgment. He's going to usher every person in before Him in judgment. Let me ask you this question. The Bible says, and I think I preached this a little last week, that, you know, after death is the judgment. It fixes things. It settles things. Are you ready for judgment? If you died right now, where would you spend eternity? That's the question that you need to answer right now. If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? You know, I can tell you without any doubt in my heart or mind, I know that I will go to heaven. I've been redeemed. He set me free. And there's an influence in my life. There's an influence in my life that constantly continues to assure me of that. I don't have to go all the way back to when I was a 10-year-old boy. I've got all kinds of Ebenezers in my life. Places where I got down and I put my face against the wall like old Hezekiah did. And I prayed. And the Lord of heaven heard my prayer and answered it. Change things. Listen, He wants to change things in your life. It's good. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's the most amazing kind of life you can live. It's the most exciting life in the world. And the most exciting life in the human race. And it's the excitement of just living for the Lord. Just giving ourselves to Him.
Just loving Him. Do you love the Lord today? I know the last couple of Sundays I've just been, I don't know, I'm just glad I'm saved. Man, I got such a blessing. Yesterday I went to the Salem Association, heard a wonderful message on sin. My dad was able to come down from Indiana and go to the association. I sat down next to him Friday when I went, and he looked at me and he said, you know, when I was a boy lost, he said, Papa brought us to the association, and he went all the way back to like the second association meeting, the Salem Association, and I thought about my dad being there, and my son and son-in-law being there, and me being three generations being there, and I thought about how important that is in my life for my family to love the truth and love the things of God and appreciate the things of God. Listen, I know you've got a busy life, but there's nothing more important than the things of God. Supporting the things of God. Uplifting the things of God. Working in the Lord's church. What a blessing it is to be part of the family of God and be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to be a member of the Lord's church. I'm talking about the pillar and the ground of the truth. This church is. Now I realize that there'll be stuff that I'll preach up here that'll make you madder than a hornet. People, that's the way it ought to be. Amen. Old preacher Willie Taylor used to say, good preaching will either make you mad, sad, or glad. Yeah. And we need more preaching against sin. We need to uphold the doctrine and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to uphold the church doctrines before the world. These are the saving doctrines. Every one of the doctrines of the church are saving doctrines. All the ordinances are important. Extremely important. Very important. I don't know what's happened over the last couple of years. I've been worried about it. We've seen people saved, but they're not united with the church. I counted 13, 14 people that have given me professions of faith and testimonies of salvation that have not united with the church, not followed the Lord in baptism. There's a fickleness in the Christian spirit anymore where they think that you get saved and just live any way you want to. You get saved, you don't unite with the church. That's wrong. The Bible says that when you get saved, you need to follow the Lord in baptism. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In other words, when they got saved, they immediately followed the Lord in baptism. And when you have been beneath the crimson flow and you know that you're a child of God and you've been saved by His grace and the gospel power of God has gotten a hold of you and transformed your life, you need to come out from among the world. You need to put your candlestick on your light on the candlestick and quit hiding it under a bushel. You need to come out from among the world and be identified with the work of God. Amen. A church of the true living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thankful for the blessings of God in my life. I just tell you, you know, I made mistakes as a father, and I'll probably make mistakes as a grandfather. I pray that my children overlook my mistakes and my grandchildren overlook my mistakes. But I do know what first thing first means. I know what the most important things are in life. And I pray that I show that to them. The most important things in life are the things of God. Everything else needs to be secondary. Jesus taught His followers. He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. He said, all these other things will be added unto you. In other words, all the things that you need, God will supply if you'll just put Him first. That has worked for me. It's worked. It's never failed me. I don't believe it will fail any generation who will put the things of the Lord first. Amen. And as a parent, you need grace in your home. Our parents, young parents, listen to me. You need God's favor more than you need anything else. Amen. More than you need a big house, more than you need a fine car, more than you need fancy clothes, more than you need all them iPads and electronic devices, more than you need toys for your kids. The most important thing you need in your home is the favor and the grace of God. And if you can get on your knees in your living room and you can find God's favor there, you have more than the riches of this world. Yeah, the treasures and riches of God's grace around you. I've counseled parents from time to time here who had children that have went off to war, and they've come back to us, and I believe it's by the grace of God that they've come back to us. But I told them, parents, listen, when God's protection is upon them, they are just as safe as they are walking down the streets of Hendersonville in a hostile environment. They're just as safe because God's protection and shield is upon them. And I believe that with all of my heart. Your kids and your home needs the protection of God. If you're dependent on your government to protect you, God have mercy on you. If you're dependent on your own abilities to protect your home, there are just too many wickedness and too much wickedness and perverseness in the world that's being funneled into our children's lives. I saw some young college students that from prestigious colleges that graduated, and they had all these whacked out and weird socialistic ideas about our country, and it just blew my mind. The psalmist said in the 27th Psalm, except the watchman watcheth the city, the watchman watcheth in vain. Except the Lord keep the city. Listen, we need the Lord's protection upon our homes and upon our families and upon our lives. I'm not sure what's coming upon us around the bend, but I know this, whatever comes, our God is greater. And I know that He's on the throne, that He is the Almighty. He is the El Shaddai, and He is the Jehovah Jireh. He is the one that has almighty, all might and power. And He is the one with all glory and power. And of His kingdom there is no end. Amen. And I'm in that kingdom. And it'll never come to an end. Well, I don't know if I need to preach my other sermon or not. I guess it depends on how much tolerance you have this morning. I would apologize, but I'm not sorry. So I guess I'd be wrong to do that. You know what? I don't know. I've just been overwhelmed. Have you just been in, there's been periods of your life where you've just been so overwhelmed with blessing that it just gripped your soul, and you just had this praise, like the 116th Psalm, the psalmist David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of these things? For all these blessings? For all of this goodness? You know, what shall I render unto the Lord? How shall I live my life in response to all of this goodness that God has brought me? And I look at my life, folks, and I am so blessed, and God has just done, He's given me things beyond my wildest imagination, and He's done things in my life that only He could have done. You know, I'm amazed that you even come and listen to me. I'm amazed that I'm the pastor of Victory Church, which I feel is one of the best churches in the world right now. And I just I feel so unworthy, and God's really been good to me. And what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His goodness toward me? Well, I just want to praise Him today. I just want to thank Him that I'm one of the redeemed. That He set me free. I don't know. The man that wrote that song wrote that in his garage. See, I believe there's a lot of people saved that aren't missionary Baptists. I believe the gospel is a non-denominational gospel. Now, I believe His church is a denomination. But I believe the gospel is far-reaching. Anybody anywhere that calls on the Lord can be saved. I remember somebody, a lady, she came and visited with us some, and she met me after service back here in a coat room and things. She said, but when I was in college, she said, the weight of sin was so heavy upon me, I could hardly breathe. And she said, I got down in my dorm room and she said, I cried unto the Lord. And she said, right there beside of that bunk, she said, I found the Lord and I really got saved. And then she turned and she said, did I really get saved there? I said, only you know. She said, I think that's where I really got saved. Do you think that's where I got saved? And I said, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what you know in your heart that matters. But this whole idea that you got to be under my preaching or, you know, be under the influence of a church that's exactly sound, I just don't believe that. I don't believe there is a disconnect between the Word of God and our lives. I do not believe there should be a disconnect between the Word of God and what you experience. All of the Old Testament were experiences that people had with God. Amen. If there's anything taught in the Scriptures, is that you need to have your own personal encounter, your own personal experience with God. You need to have your own burning bush. You need to have your own Jacob's ladder. You need to have your own grace to come into your life like Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You need to have your own Mount Sinai like Moses had. Listen, you need to have your own experience with the work and great plan of God. And you can today if you'll come to Him. Let's all come in the altar. I want us to we'll have an altar prayer as we sing. We'll gather in the altar as we sing. We invite those of you that are not right with God to get right with God and pray with us. You can get saved today. You can get saved at home. You can get saved in your car. You can get saved anywhere that you call on the Lord. But you've got to call upon Him. You've got to repent of your sins. You got to turn from your transgressions. Your iniquity has to be right before you. And it has to be sin that turns you to Christ in belief. Your own sins. Those sins that are heavy upon you. There's only one who can lift them from you, and that's God. See, it's not me that matters. It's the Lord. And it's not me that saves. It's the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And you know, I can stand up here and I can preach, but I can't get down into the depths of your soul. That takes the Lord. And He can grip you and convict you and take the Word of God and reprove you and move you. Those kind of movings come from the Lord. I can't manufacture them. I can't bring them. I have to pray and depend on the Lord to do His work. And I'll just be honest with you, I think He does. You that are afar have been made near to the kingdom of God by the precious power of God and through the grace of God and through the gospel of Jesus. Well, I don't think we've even prayed yet, have we? I hope you came prayed up and ready. Tell you what I want to do. I know this is not the traditional kind of sermons that you've probably heard when you've gone to church. I guess we're just not real formal here at Victory. But see, it's not about us. It's about what God is doing in us. That's important. It's what God is doing in you.